So to grips. But before I went to the next step, I couldn't help looking over toward the balloon. My pursuit of this payload had taken me well away from it, but I was heartened to see a number of blues and reds converging there. Surave and Fra Osa had linked half a dozen payloads into a big, lazily spinning molecule of fuzzballs and were hauling it in, getting ready to link it to a growing complex in the shelter of the balloon. Archibald reported,
"I'm closing on Fra Jad. He has become entangled with a blue payload and he seems to be unconscious."
"What kind of orbital elements are you seeing?" Leo asked.
"His E is dangerously high," Archibald said,
referring to the eccentricity of Jad's orbit.
"He'll be in the soup in a few minutes."
"Be careful you don't get entangled then,"
Leo warned him. "Rear grapnel camera on," I said, and the view out my face mask was obscured by a virtual display in jewel-like laser colors. A green grid with a red crosshairs in the middle. This was a feed from a spelecaptor aimed out the back of my Magnifique. I checked my pitch angle and then rotated the trackball until it had incremented by 180 degrees. The payload swung into view. It was now directly behind me.
"Grapnel 1, fire," I said,
and felt a little kick in the tail as a small cylinder of compressed gas ruptured. The grapnel system was a long, skinny tube of fabric, all telescoped in on itself like a stocking. When the gas exploded into it, the tube shot out straight and became a long, rigid balloon. At its end was a warhead, rounded smooth on its tip so that it would plunge through the cloud of netting surrounding a payload, but spring-loaded with spines that sprang out when the tube reached the end of its travel, or when it smacked into something. Based on my imperfect view through the rear camera, I was pretty certain it had all worked. But there was only one way to be sure. "Rear grapnel camera off," I said, and thrust forward. For a couple of seconds, I don't think my heart beat at all. Then a jerk backwards told me my grapnel had engaged the netting. I allowed myself a shout of joy, then checked the balloon again. Archibald reported,
"Jad is welded to the payload. I'll never get them apart."
Leo,
"What do you mean, welded?"
Archibald,
"When he drifted into it, the blue plastic netting contacted the hot nozzle skirt on his Magnifique and melted, stuck fast. I'm attempting to grapple the two payloads as a unit."
Leo,
"Do you have sufficient propellant to make the necessary burn?"
Archibald,
"I'll tell you in a minute."
Leo,
"I'm on my way. Don't expend all your propellant. We don't even know if Jad is still alive."
17 minutes to line of sight. Plenty of time. I got myself oriented as before with the payload trailing behind me and thrust forward, undoing the damage I'd inflicted on my orbit a few moments earlier. It took more fuel, a longer burn, because I was moving double the mass now. Some nervousness here, because a long burn meant a large mistake if I was doing it wrong. I kept an eye on the eccentricity readout at the bottom of my display. This was already about 0.005, but I had to make it less than 0.001 to stay in any kind of reasonable sync with everyone else. In my earphones, I could hear others making a similar calculation. Archibald, I gathered, had succeeded in grappling Jad in the payload Jad was stuck to, and was trying to do what I was doing, calling out numbers to Leo, who was maneuvering into position to rescue Archibald if that became necessary. Meanwhile, Jesri was monitoring the traffic, calculating how much propellant was going to be needed, calling out suggestions that, as the adventure went on, hardened into commands. The distraction was severe, so I reluctantly shut off my wireless link and focused on my own situation. Only once I'd burned my E down under 0.001 did I lift my hands from the controls and look around for the balloon. After a few moments' wild anxiety, when I didn't think it was anywhere near me, I found it above and to my right, 1,000 feet away, and slowly getting closer. A cluster of blue netting was forming up below it as other Cell 317ers brought in payloads. As long as I was so close, I took a look around to see if there were any others handy. 15 minutes to line of sight. I'd lost contact with Archibald and Leo, but several other icons came up on my display as I drifted in range of the reticule. I turned the sound back on, not without intense trepidation, since I did not know what news I was about to hear. Screaming filled my ears, overloaded the electronics. I tried to remember how to turn down the volume. The tone was not that of a horror show, more like a sporting event where someone wins a close game with an improbable score just as time expires. Leo's icon popped up.
"Calm down, calm down,"
he insisted, appalled by the lapse of discipline. Arcibald's icon came up.
"Saman, prepare to grab Frajad, please. He's unresponsive."
His voice was weighed down with a kind of unnatural calm, but I sensed that if I checked his bio readouts, they would reflect near-fatal excitement. The balloon was rapidly getting bigger. I was too high, though, too far from Arb, so I juked northwest, killing a bit of my orbital velocity, dropping to a lower altitude. I say juked northwest as if it were that simple, but now that I was towing a payload on the end of a 20-foot grapnel, such moves were much more complicated. First, I had to swing around to get on the payload's other side, then apply thrust. This slowed my convergence on the balloon. Saman said,
"Got him. He's alive. Bio readouts are screwy, though,